following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. From the Georgia Southern Sports Network, powered by Learfield IMG College.
Wake up, Eagle Nation! Touchdown, Georgia Southern!
This is Inside Eagle Nation, your all-access look into Eagle athletics.
Taking a look through all the other action in Georgia Southern athletics this past week. A lot of road action. A lot of teams hitting the old I-16 out of town.
Getting on the steel horse and taking us to parts north, south, west, wherever. Can't really go too much farther east.
Now, let's return to the Learfield IMG College studios. Here are your hosts, Colin Lacey and Danny Reed.
That's a fact, Jack.
Welcome into a new edition of Inside Eagle Nation. It's a Tuesday, so you know exactly what that means. It's Inside Eagle Nation, your official podcast for Georgia Southern Athletics. Switching it up a little bit this week. If you're listening to this on your normal podcast platform later in the day, what has changed for you? Oh, absolutely nothing. But if you're watching this on Facebook Live, a lot has changed. We are live doing Inside Eagle Nation. Colin Lacey alongside the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, once again. But it's something we have talked about for a little while now, and we'll get into more of why this is a thing, why it benefits everybody, hopefully benefits everybody, but this is something we've talked about for a while, and it all stemmed from a friend of the podcast in Mike Davis. Does his podcast with Dale Jr. every week, and he's the one that kind of got the juices flowing of, hey, you could do this on video stream, and then have the podcast still exist.
Right.
So, it's his fault.
His fault. Well, it depends on how this goes.
Well,
it could be his fault.
That's a good point. But we're here on Facebook Live. You can comment with questions. You can text us, as always, 912-274-3607. You can tweet at GS Sports Network. And something that we haven't done in a while, and I hope we don't regret this.
This is dangerous.
Opening up the phone lines, you can call us at 912-478-7004 and ask questions, comment, funny jokes. We always ask for jokes, and we never get them.
I think the last joke we got was 4 years ago.
I think so.
Ish.
But glad to be a part of this week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation. As always, Inside Eagle Nation is presented by our good friends at Arcola Septic. Arcola Septic is your premier septic services provider to Bullock, Bryan, and adjoining counties, and a great family-owned business that's run by a pair of Georgia Southern alumni. Make sure to give them a call at 912-318-7939 or visit them online at arcolaseptic.com. For both commercial and residential customers, their more than 10 years of experience can help you out with pumping and servicing your septic system, drain field repairs, new system installation, and all of your septic needs. Remember to follow them on Facebook, Arcola Septic, yesterday's Meals on Wheels. Ready to go with the first live one?
This is fun because, well, a couple reasons. People can actually see us as we're doing this.
Right.
This isn't just audio and something that they're going to listen to throughout the Tuesday. So for the people that are here right now, this is live.
Right.
But this is also archived on Facebook, as you've seen with our coaches' shows throughout the last couple of years. So you can still go back and watch this whenever you'd like if you want to review something. But also, today is historic because it's Groundhog Day.
Correct. It's Groundhog Day, and it's also my grandfather's birthday. So happy birthday, Granddaddy.
I should have said that first.
Probably.
That's on me. Is that the one we had Thanksgiving with?
Yes.
Okay.
He's the one that comes down to with my folks all the time.
Okay.
Used to.
The only bad news is about this being Groundhog Day is that Punxsutawney Phil has seen his shadow. So that tells us that we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter.
Oof.
I didn't mean to just drop the anvil this early in our first live edition, but
yeah, no, come on now.
This is the one day of the year where people actually get up early.
That's true.
In Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, which is on the other side of the state from where I went to college, but I actually had class with a guy that
Phil?
Was no.
Oh.
I had class with a guy who was from Punxsutawney, and I'd never met anybody from that part of the state. So at least once a week, somebody would ask him, "What's it like to go to Gobbler's Knob every year and watch Punxsutawney Phil tell us if it's going to be early spring or early winter?" I think he got tired of it after the first time. But the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray always gets talked about this time of the year and how he lives the same day over and over as the television reporter who can never figure out how to get the day right. But this is always fun because very early in the day, they usually do it right around 7 a.m., you hear whether or not we're going to start early, mm-hmm. with some more sunshine, or if you're going to have to deal with some more cold, which if you're from where I'm from, you pretty much get the cold regardless. You could say all this about, oh, it's going to be an early spring. Spring starts when it wants to start. It's not because of what Groudhog says.
All right, we've already got some interaction on Facebook Live asking to tell us the time you interviewed Bill Murray.
Who asked that?
I'll give you one guess.
Okay. This was my...
And you're right.
Well, it makes sense because Bill Murray, part owner of the Charleston Riverdogs, the team that I used to work for before I got to Statesboro. And this would have been 2009, where, see, Bill's a part owner, but he shows up at the ballpark whenever he wants to. He doesn't give anybody advance notice. He wears an old-school Charleston Rainbows hat. They used to be the Rainbows in the mid-90s. Every now and then he'll wear the teal and the purple Riverdogs hat from the late 90s when Josh Hamilton was a Riverdog and was South Atlantic League Player of the Year. But he'll just show up, and he'll be just dressed like a normal guy. You'll never know he walks in. He'll sit down, and then there are these times where he'll just pop in everywhere. And literally, it was after, this is a two-part story. After one game, I looked down to write something in my scorebook. You've been to Riley Park. Mm-hmm. You know how the windows open up. And then I look up. It's no more than 5 seconds later. Bill's right here. I said, hey, the scoreboard's wrong. And the game was over. So I say, Bill, you want to go become more windows now to take care of that one? Because the next booth was the visiting booth, and then the next booth after that was where the actual press box was. The game was over, so it really didn't matter if the scoreboard was right. But the time that I had him on the air, this was 2009. It was the opening weekend, and we were going through a different streaming service, and I was having trouble getting the levels right. This is 12 years ago. We've made a lot of advances in technological in terms of streaming. But I don't have the archive of this, so I can't actually prove it. But I told him a joke about Congress, and I made him laugh, and I thought, okay, my life's complete, because I just made Bill Murray laugh. He was with me for a full inning. I can't tell you what else we talked about, but the only thing I remember specifically is I told a joke about Congress, and I made Bill Murray laugh.
Well, there it is.
12 years ago.
Wow.
Coming up on 12 years ago already.
Wow. You made Bill Murray laugh. On the air?
Oh, yeah. And I wish I could remember the joke, but I know it was about something about Congress.
That's my next question. There that goes. Anyway, continuing on with what's going on.
This little sidebar.
Oh, yeah. I have a feeling we're going to get down a lot of those today.
Yeah, we actually do still have a schedule of stuff to talk about.
We do. But talking about what's going on in Georgia Southern Athletics, men's golf finished up the Thomas Sharkey Individual Collegiate Sunday and Monday over at the Georgia Southern University Golf Course. Jacob Bayer paced the Eagles and finished 7th in the field with an 8-over par. And talking with Carter the last couple of days, that was some pretty tough weather and course conditions going on. And I remember being outside yesterday on the way to the coach's show and whatnot. Yeah. It was pretty windy, and I can't imagine that's a golfer's dream.
But even though the Groundhog says that spring might be coming early, here's still cold weather, even though we're going to get more winter weather this year.
Either way.
But you would think if you could play in weather like that, you could do just about anything.
Men's golf will be off this weekend, and they'll return to the links Friday, February the 12th for the Gator Invitational down in Gainesville. Yeah, that. Georgia Southern.
2013.
Yeah.
It was a good day.
It was.
I wasn't there, but I hear it was a good day.
It was a very good day. That's something we need to ask Rod. I don't know that we've ever asked Roger about that in Eagle Tales.
All right, spoiler. Today's Eagle Tales is not about that.
No, but it's good.
Yeah, he's talked about that before, about the buses coming home.
Has he?
That might have been about the 86 game, and we've talked to Terry about that a number of times. Yeah. But I think we keep asking him about the 2013 game, and he keeps talking about the 86 game the first time we went down there.
That's a very valid point. Georgia Southern men's tennis opened up the season against North Florida on Saturday at the Wallace Tennis Center. They fell to the Ospreys 4-3, but started off strong as Pascal Wagemaker and Alexandros Rumpas defeated the number 56th ranked doubles team in the country, and they will head to Tallahassee on Saturday to take on Florida State 10 a.m. and then FAU at 2 p.m., all of that in Tallahassee.
I think rankings-wise in tennis, they go up to the top 60, so if that sounds a little bit weird, the rankings do get stretched out. Like with baseball, they do top 30, but everybody else is primarily top 25.
Yeah, and that's not the number 56 team overall. That's that doubles pairing.
Yeah.
It's ranked 56. Right. Georgia Southern women's tennis took on number 22 ranked UCF. Now that is the whole team ranking. And did have a great start after they fell 7-0 in the individuals. But for the first time in school history, an Eagles double team defeated a ranked opponent as Charlotte Van Dymen and Sophie Wagemaker won 6-2 against the 6th ranked doubles team in the country.
That's awesome.
Number 6 of that pairing in the country.
So they're off to an awesome start. We talked last week about the victory over the College of Charleston for the first time in 21 years. So there's a lot brewing over at Wallace right now.
Yeah. Sean McCaffrey has got him rolling.
Yes, he does.
He answered us back last week.
I saw.
Last week we were talking about his debut in the Battle of the Eagle Stars with basketball, and he made sure to tell us he was middle of the pack. He was 3rd, I think he said.
Yeah. See, I mixed him up. I knew that softball didn't go very well for him, and I wasn't sure about basketball. But
I have to correct that one.
Take an inside coach or take an outside coach inside. You don't know what you're going to get. You take an inside coach outside. You don't know what you're going to get.
Women's tennis will have a busy week this week. This afternoon, if you're listening to this on time on Tuesday, it'll be a 1 p.m. first serve against North Florida at the Wallace Tennis Center just outside Hanner Fieldhouse. And then they will take on Mercer on Friday at home as well. 1 p.m. the first serve at that one as well. Georgia Southern Rifle had a pretty good weekend this weekend on Sunday over at the Shooting Sports Education Center. Georgia Southern, now ranked number 23rd in the country, took down the Citadel Bulldogs, who are number 21 in the country, in the Citadel women's team with a 4,574 aggregate score, the 3rd highest in program history. Freshman Bella Gomez shot a career-high 570 in the small bore, and Ashley Judson paced the way for the Eagles in air rifle with a career-best 589. Next Friday and Saturday, the 12th and the 13th, they will head to Moorhead, Kentucky to take on Moorhead State in a 2-day event. Talked about last week how Georgia Southern softball had their conference schedule come out. They will be on the road for 5 of the 8 conference weekends, but they will host 2 tournaments here in Statesboro. It'll start with the Bash in the Borough on Friday the 12th through the 14th of February against Western Kentucky and UNC Wilmington. They will play both of those teams twice each. Then they will head to a tournament down in Florida in Gainesville. Just talked about Gainesville.
There you go.
Where they'll take on number 7 Florida and Charlotte. And then we'll host the Eagle Round Robin March 5th, 6th, and 7th as they welcome in Winthrop and the College of Charleston. Kim Dean and company got a pretty tough schedule to start off before, but you need a tough schedule when you're playing Sunbelt Conference softball.
I really like softball and baseball scheduling because, one, there's so many games,
yeah.
But two, you get a chance to see so many teams that ordinarily you would not see,
yeah,
especially in the non-conference.
For sure.
Even in the conference, because for whatever reason, the Sun Belt doesn't want Georgia Southern and Arkansas State or Georgia Southern and Texas State to play in anything. So I guess we'll just see them whenever we get a chance to see them.
Yeah, and since we haven't seen Louisiana in basketball and won't see them in baseball, I'm thinking about going down to Acadiana with softball just to see our friends.
I'm almost worried that they're not in the league anymore. I mean, I know what the West Division says. I know the standings are, but they say I just worry that those teams still aren't actually. Maybe we're not in the Sun Belt. Maybe we're just in some alternate universe.
No. I promise you, if Louisiana was ever not in the Sun Belt, Jay Walker would let you know about it.
He's going through his list of top songs of the 90s the last few days.
What is he following Craig's lead on?
Have you seen his countdowns?
No.
All right, he's gone 60s, 70s, 80s. He's gone bad songs, but now he's going top songs in the 90s.
Hmm.
I think I just saw one, Matchbox 23 AM, from about 20-something years ago.
Sounds about right. Yeah. Georgia Southern Swim and Dive will take on North Florida on Saturday at the rack. They defeated North Florida 2 weeks ago, 152-128. That'll start at noon on Facebook Live. Georgia Southern Volleyball, we talked about it last week, added 3 spring matches to their schedule. Fell in the first one 3-0 against the College of Charleston. They will be home for the first of 2 in the spring inside Hanner as they will host Jacksonville today. It'll be a 6 o'clock first serve for head coach Chad Willis and company.
Ordinarily, we would be talking about that yesterday and saying, if you're listening to this on time.
Right.
But now we're saying it's today. It literally is today.
Yeah, it's messing with my mind a little bit. I got to reprogram myself.
Part of their 3-match spring schedule. They got another one coming up at home. it's not a lot, but to be able to, in their point, complete the season since they lost in the Sun Belt tournament. But the interesting part of that is because all of those championships that were non-football related got moved to the spring. Since Texas State won the tournament, they will participate in the NCAA tournament coming up within the next few weeks. But for Georgia Southern, just a couple of matches to end the season.
And then Georgia Southern men's basketball. Well, I guess we should talk about women's basketball first. Because
I just want to know how far to Coastal you were before you...
About 10 minutes from leaving this spot.
Okay.
The team was about 2 hours down the road before they get a call from Coastal Carolina. And we talked to Coach Howard last night on the coach's show about it. She said Lane Jackson made a sprint up the middle of the bus and said, let's pump the brakes a little bit. And
Talking to the bus.
Well, not necessarily.
Just, okay.
But so they pulled off the next exit until they could figure out what exactly was going on. And come to find out, Coastal Carolina had COVID concerns, had to postpone the weekend. There's talks that one of those games may be made up in the coming weeks. But as of right now, nothing has been announced. But we know women's basketball didn't play last week. And so it's weird for a basketball team. And this is the first time that Georgia Southern's really had to go through this. Having a off weekend for a basketball team in the end of January.
Be the equivalent of a baseball series getting called off because of rain. Or
yeah,
maybe this year because of COVID.
Yeah.
Because I could absolutely see that happening.
Oh, for sure.
And being as close as they were to the actual destination, then finding out, oh, we're not going to have the games. So really, you're spending all day on the bus anyway to just go up and come back. It's almost like you just took a planned bus trip. Probably with a meal mixed in, but then you got your weekend to do with how you see fit.
I think Haley Carter was joking that they took a 5-hour bus route round trip to go eat lunch.
Hope it was good.
I think it was.
I don't know.
Coach Howard was talking last night that she was really craving some of the Asian cuisine.
But, yeah, that's right.
I don't think she got it.
She'll get there.
Yeah, eventually.
It's a long season.
It is. Got to stick to the grind.
Reach the summit eventually.
Yeah. Women's basketball will take on Troy this weekend inside Hanner. 6 o'clock the tip-off on Friday. 4 o'clock the tip-off on Saturday. Georgia Southern men's basketball had Coastal Carolina inside Hanner Fieldhouse. Fell to the Chanticleers 79-62 on Friday. It was a busy day. Had ESPN2 in town. Mm-hmm. Well, at least the production crew.
Yeah.
And then Eagles were down by a decent margin midway through the second half, but battled back to cut it to 10, had opportunities to cut it to single digits, but then Coastal just kind of pulled away at the end.
First, I was happy to have you back. I wasn't planning on having you back, but it was nice having you courtside again.
Yeah, it was weird seeing men's basketball live in January.
The first game, it got to be a 20-point lead with under 7 left, and at that point, it had a feeling that it was going to be like that first South Alabama game on New Year's Day where they dominated and it was one of the worst losses in the history of Hanner Fieldhouse. But then Georgia Southern scored the next 10 points. Coastal had a technical foul mixed in, and the Eagles had the ball down 10 with about 3 and change. Eric Boone had a shot from the left wing, and had it gone, you're down 7, you're probably getting into your press, and you don't know what happens from there. Unfortunately, it didn't go. Coastal ended the game on a 9-2 run, and they won by 17. It's a good team. And they came to town, they were 11-3 on the year. They hadn't done anything on the road, so you had to wonder how they were going to look as opposed to the domination they had up in Conway. The only two road games they had before that were at Wofford and at Georgia State. And there was only one game at Georgia State because, as we've talked about before, they've had COVID issues for the last, I think, 6 weeks. So only one of those two games got played. They'll have to reschedule one of those somehow. It wasn't a very fun Friday. You wish the games could have been flipped so you could have had a chance to win on national television. But for Coastal, they vaulted Appalachian State to go into first in the East with that win. But as we're going to find out on Saturday, it wasn't a loss for the Eagles. In fact, it turned out to work out well for them because they actually got closer to one of those top two seeds, and there's still a couple of weeks left in the season. But since App lost again on Saturday, Troy swept them, and the Eagles handled their business on Saturday. It actually was a productive weekend. Now they're only a game out of second place.
It was weird seeing men's basketball in January. I'm not used to that. But
seeing how much, and it's one of those things, it's almost like, and bear with me on this, I promise I'm getting somewhere. It's almost like when you're raising a child, the fact that when you're with them every day, you don't see how much they've grown from point A to point B. But the last time I saw men's basketball in a game was at Davidson. And that wasn't necessarily the best night to see them.
No, that wasn't the one that you'd want to take your opinions on.
Right. And so seeing the growth from that point in the non-conference portion of the schedule to just about halfway through conference play,
all right, geez.
It's very noticeable the jump, not just in chemistry, but the jump that this team has made together. And I think that just kind of speaks volumes to Coach Berg and his staff and what they've done.
If they come out with a defensive mindset in the first few possessions, you can tell it's going to be a good day. And that's really been the keys for them. Sometimes they've rebounded early and they haven't maintained the advantage. Sometimes they pick it up a little bit, like that first game against Coastal where they got down and then they cut it in half. But you can tell where they're at mentally by how they defend within the first 4 to 5 minutes of every game. The Saturday game against Coastal, they did that. Coastal shot 33% before halftime. They scored only 18 points, and that's a team that came into Statesboro scoring 86 a game for the season. That was number 7 in the country. And like Coach Burke said last night on Inside Georgia Southern Basketball, they keep proving to themselves that they're capable of shutting teams down. It's just a matter of being able to do that consistently instead of just having a game here, a game there. But you're seeing 5-5 record means that sometimes it's been there. Other times they're struggling to find whatever they need.
Move on to Saturday. It was a 61-58 victory for Georgia Southern, and we will fast forward to under a second left in the game. Elijah McCadden finished with 10 points, and I thought he finished with more just watching the game, but never mind. But he had a three with 0.8 seconds left yep. to put Georgia Southern ahead at that 61-58 clip, and that was a huge shot, and for somebody, and you and Coach Berg talked about it after the game, you talked about it on Inside Georgia Southern Basketball last night, that is a shot that Elijah has been getting ready for weeks.
And part of it's been the 300 club that's been instituted since Coach Berg and staff got there. Part of it's been how hard Elijah has worked ever since he got to Statesboro. But the amount of time he's put in practice-wise with that shot made the game shot, despite it being a very intense scenario to win a game. It was just normal for him because he's taken that shot so much. Now, I've always thought he was a left-wing shooting three guy. That's the spot he seems to gravitate to. If I would go back and chart them all, I think that he has made most of his threes from the left wing, but the way that the offense was moving that final possession, Eric Boone had to find his way through the zone. Elijah had popped out after setting that screen just to the right of the top of the arc, and by the time that he caught, there was a second and a half left, and he lets the ball go. From our angle, you can't tell. You don't know straight on or not, but I guess depth-wise, it looked pretty good, and then it drops through, place goes nuts. And on one of the photos that was taken at the end of the game, he's already got the three figures up on his right hand. So either he was hoping it was in or he knew better than we did that he knew it was in. That was the second three that he made in the last 30 seconds, and then Georgia Southern got the stop. And then, like we mentioned, with what happened with App State losing at Troy again, getting swept last weekend, the Eagles actually gained ground over the weekend. They're now only a game out of second when they went into the weekend, a game and a half out. Now, a half game might not seem like a whole lot, but this weekend you've got the top three in the East playing the bottom three in the East. It's strange to think that Georgia State is in the bottom half of the East, but a lot of that is because they haven't played very many games because of their own COVID issues. And like I mentioned before, this may not be a weekend where at the top there's necessarily a whole lot of change. There could be a change throughout the entire league. There's two and a half games that separate first and sixth in the East. So it could be a mess by the time we get to next Sunday.
It'll be Troy coming in this weekend. 7 o'clock the tip-off. Or no, you're going to Troy. We're staying here.
Well, we're going there, so we'll be coming in for them.
Yes, you're coming in for them. They'll be inside Trojan Arena, 7 o'clock Eastern, the tip-off on Friday, 5 o'clock Eastern, the tip-off on Saturday. I'm getting this central thing down.
And from my favorite arena in this league. Look, I love Hanner. It's got its charm. But in terms of visiting arenas, Trojan Arena is my absolute favorite. I think it's beautiful. It's a perfect size. Their Hall of Fame on the concourse level is extremely well done. Barry McKnight announces from a suite.
Of course he does.
Not that he does it normally, but with COVID, they move him to the top level.
You can't put Barry in anything less than a suite.
I made the joke that he looks like he was calling football plays, like he was an offensive or a defensive coordinator sitting in the booth.
Need one of those pieces of paper with the H or the V.
Yeah.
So.
But it'll be good to see him. Haven't seen Jerry Miller in a while. He does the color for the ESPN Plus.
Get to see Doug Amos.
Doug Amos. We'll be up on the concourse. Usually for radio at Troy, you'd be courtside. The one thing I did notice from seeing a couple of their home games, that how a lot of places have had to move the bleachers back to comply with social distancing and spread out the chairs. There's so much room already courtside at Trojan Arena where it looks normal outside of the chairs being spread out. So there's nothing that's moved except just the chairs being like they are, and then all media that's covering the game has to sit on the second level.
We were there a couple of weeks ago, yeah. And you're in your own little alcove in your own little cubby.
Is it a cubby?
It's a cubby.
It might be a little bit bigger than a cubby.
Yeah, it's a little bigger than a cubby.
Okay.
But you'll be fine. Plenty of room. Very spacious.
Okay.
And you've got Adam Prendergast to take care of you. So, I wonder if he brings his cooler over from football.
I've already asked. He does not.
Oh, that's disappointing.
-2.
Yeah. And for those of you that don't know, the running joke around the league is that Adam has the most diverse drink cooler. He has any kind of Coca-Cola product that you would possibly even want or imagine. I've told him many times that I think he just creates his own labels and puts it on a regular can of Coke, but he says he doesn't.
See, his heart's hurting a little bit this year because of the pandemic. Coke was not making nearly...
I thought you were talking about the Blue Jays.
Well,
he's probably fired up that...
Yeah, they just signed Marcus Semien. Well, I thought they just signed Marcus Semien, too.
Sure.
They signed Springer?
Yeah.
They
signed him, and then everybody thought he was going back to Houston, and then I saw an introductory press conference in Toronto.
All right, that's a big gift for that. But anyway, Coke was not making nearly as many product this year because of the pandemic. So I think of all the varieties that he usually has in this legendary drink cooler, they cut it down by about 2/3.
Mm.
So he still had the look to it. We didn't go to Troy this year, but he just didn't have as much of what he usually gets. So I know that hurt him a little bit.
That's tough.
Okay.
It's tough out there. But as always, for the live edition of Inside Eagle Nation, I don't know why I said as always. This is the first time we've done it.
Anybody got any other questions?
No, we have comments that said Beauregard Lee is better anyways than Punxsutawney Phil. You know Beauregard Lee. Not Gopher. The Groundhog up in Atlanta.
Wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. You didn't know that Atlanta had its own Groundhog?
I did not.
He lives better than I do. Like, he's got his own little mansion house.
Does he live better than Ugga?
He doesn't lay on an ice bag, I can tell you that much. But you can give us a call, 912-478-7004, if you would like to join the conversation, or text us 912-274-3607, tweet at GS Sports Network, or comment here on Facebook Live. But for now, we continue the tradition. Eagle Nation was built on tradition, and part of the ones that built that tradition is Roger Inman, and we go to him for some Eagle Tales.
Time now for Eagle Tales with Danny Reed and Roger Inman.
All right, Roger, we need a special story. Our first ever live episode of Inside Eagle Nation. How about another story about the victory over Eastern Michigan in the Camellia Bowl?
A Camellia Bowl story. Our football team's down on the field. We the bus drivers. We up with the buses, and Montgomery police officers come up there to me and said, we need to pull y'all up first because we're going to load the losing team first. Now, I was in the bus watching the end of the game on a satellite, and best I could see, it was not over. The police officers were pretty insisted that we pull the equipment truck up and the buses up to load the losing team first, and I kept reiterating to those guys, according to this satellite picture, it ain't over yet. And they got a little insisted that we're going to pull y'all up so we can load first. Well, to come to a short end of a story, a young man named Bass put one in balls through the uprights. Georgia Southern won. Last I looked, our opponent pulled their buses up before we pulled ours up. But had I been a weak-minded human being and took their advice, that means we'd have had to pull them around twice. Because we did not lose that game, courtesy of Mr. Bass and Chad and their chance to go, you know, get a winning field goal. Made a difference.
Oh, Roger. He is a treasure.
Had to be a Camellia Ball story.
Oh, for sure. We had to do something special for our first live edition of Inside Eagle Nation, and so got to bring in the Camellia Ball.
In the first 114 editions of this, he has told a couple of Camellia Bowl stories.
Yes.
I didn't know about that one.
No, I didn't either. But there it is.
That was such a great night. From the buses rocking right as we're going on for tailgate to watching about 1,000 Eagle fans run down the hill to set up an impromptu Eagle walk to what was a really good game, and then Tyler Bass. You watched him during the playoffs the last few weeks.
Aaron Soka jumped on my back. Thought we were going out the window.
Eagle Nation tore up downtown Montgomery in a good way.
Yes, they did.
The Aviator is...
Frank put it on a pedestal, and Eagle Nation just knocked it off the tee.
I'm still amazed that we did fall out of that booth, because the booth, the booth we were in wasn't designed to be a radio booth. It was a camera shooting position, and a lot had to work right for us to stay in that booth.
Just got a comment on Facebook Live. We need an interview from the drivers of the yellow buses and what they thought when they came around that corner.
I'm not even sure who was actually driving the buses.
I'm going to guess Roger was in some way, shape, or form. Or it may be, didn't Roger tell us in a earlier edition of Inside Eagle Nation that they had to have whoever they borrowed the, or not borrowed, I guess rented the buses from, like their drivers had to be the one. So I don't think it was anybody associated with Georgia Southern.
That'd be good to know, though.
Yeah. I can imagine if it wasn't somebody associated with Georgia Southern, that's
that story. That was probably better.
Yeah, that's a story they probably still tell.
Great couple of days.
No doubt.
Now 3-1 in bowl games after beating La Tech in the Arnell Carriers New Orleans Bowl and just adding to the memories even more. But we're going to tell stories about that. I'm going to have to rely on you guys because I was only there for about 10 minutes.
It's kind of like I do with the Cure Bowl for you.
Well, Cure Bowl was probably the one we don't tell a whole lot about.
Yeah, that's one that I was fine not remembering a whole lot from.
I mean, we were at the Cure Bowl. Terry made it rain, but...
I do remember that.
That's the best part of the Cure Bowl is when Terry made it rain.
I do remember that. But this week coming up for Georgia Southern men's and women's basketball, it'll be the Trojans of Troy as Georgia Southern will host on the women's basketball side the Troy Trojans inside Hanner Fieldhouse. Again, 6 o'clock the tip-off on Friday, 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock the tip-off rather on Saturday. For a Troy team that is 11-4 overall, 7-1 in conference play, the last time they lost...
The beat goes on.
Yeah, it's kind of same song, different.
Mm-hmm.
But first, ninth-year head coach Shanda Rigby, the last time they lost was the first game of conference play. They have won their last 7 games after Appalachian State surprisingly knocked them off the first game of conference play back on New Year's Day. But this is a Troy team that is still firing on all cylinders. Alexis Dye, the 6-foot senior out of Birmingham, 16.5 points per game, 11.5 rebounds per game. You've got Felmas Karenga, the junior out of Kenya, 13 points a game, just shy of 10 rebounds a game. They both had double-doubles in both games against Georgia Southern in the first go-round when Troy swept Georgia Southern up at Trojan Arena. But the big change, and we talked about it with Coach Howard last night, Jasmine Robinson, the senior out of Augusta, hadn't played the previous 6 games leading into that series with Georgia Southern, came back against Georgia Southern, and she just brings a whole new dimension to what this Troy offense does. Usually a pretty good 3-point shooter, but just shooting 20% on the season. And she started 4 of 8 from 3, but the last 9 games, she's just 1 of her last 15. So that either means that the 3 is not in her repertoire this year, or knowing my luck, it'll mean she's going to have 107 threes this weekend.
Last weekend playing Coastal, I mentioned that reserve Kevin Williamson for the Chanticleers before last weekend at Troy, he had played 3 games all year, had not attempted a 3. In those two games against Troy, he goes 5 of 10 from 3, scores in double figures both games. They had some guys that were in and out of the lineup, so he had a chance to see action. And then game 1 against the Eagles, what does he do? Makes 4 threes, 12 points. 3 straight games of double figures for a guy that hadn't played 3 games all year. It's just so funny that coaches all the time say, be ready for your opportunity. And most of the time, we'll be honest, it never surfaces. It doesn't mean a whole lot for people that are apparently that far down on the bench, having only played 3 games. But Kevin Williamson comes in, acts like he had never skipped a beat, just starts banging threes. Now, game 2, the Eagles did a lot better against him, but somebody that recognized that his time was there, he took advantage of it.
All right, we've got a, I'm not going to call it a breaking news. No, we don't need the music.
Oh, we don't want any of the music?
No. Vic Cabral on Facebook Live says that you need some of that D-Staff coffee. Now, I've heard Cunningham makes the best coffee.
Well, get your little 20 scooper over there, Travis Cunningham. You'll get the, it's high test. You got to be ready for it now. You got to be ready.
That's incredible.
And he wears it with his boots, too. So
when
he,
oh, no doubt. We need to get you a pair of boots. What do you have against boots?
Do you think I could pull off boots? It's not that I wouldn't wear them. It's a matter of if you could be able to pull them off. I'm not talking literally pull them off. I mean if they'd actually look like they belong on my feet.
I mean,
I've got a pair of black boots that I wear whenever it gets slicker, icy, or snowy because, you know, in Georgia that happens once every 6 years. But actual boots, for those of you watching that know me and you know me, if you're going to...
Daryl Lenz, I'll force some boots.
Okay. You like How I Met Your Mother, correct?
Correct.
The red cowboy boots that Ted wears.
Okay.
Look totally ridiculous.
Right, but you don't need red ones.
But I'm just picturing that. I know that that's not going to be that way, but that's just what I'm picturing.
No, I'm just talking some good... I mean, you can even go with, like... some snakeskin. You're not buying it.
It's just tough to picture what that would look like.
Vic said make the hair stand up.
Make my hair stand up?
No, he just said make the hair stand up.
Okay. The Travis Cunningham's coffee, that is the only coffee that I will drink.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're not a big coffee guy anyway.
That is the only coffee that I will drink.
Did you get peer pressured into it?
First couple of times, this would have been last year, when on Wednesdays before the pandemic, the last couple of seasons, I'd go over and watch film with the offensive and defensive staffs. And defensively, TC always takes pride in the cup of coffee he makes. And after a while, he would say, it would take a couple of weeks, he'd say, you want a cup? So I said, look, all right, next week I'll have a cup. So as soon as I walked in and sat down, Scott Sloan sitting there with his glasses on top of his head, he's kind of looking at me and saying, got a cup over there ready for you. And TC, he went and poured one out. For someone who's had probably 5 cups of coffee in his life, it was good. So every time I've gone over there, I had a cup of coffee.
We need to get Cabral on this.
Might be the last one we do.
Nah. It'll be the first of many.
What we got now?
He's just quoting Travis Cunningham.
Got the high test in there today.
And we're also getting word that you like frappes. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, frappes, yeah. In the grocery store, you can buy them in the little plastic packet and tear off the top, a little ice, a little milk.
Do you have to do it like that? Pinky up?
I have my pinky up.
Yeah.
Tear off the top, a little milk, a little ice in the blender. Tastes very good.
Oh.
It's almost like a breakfast milkshake without the ice cream. It's a milkshake without ice cream. Same kind of consistency, but...
That's like saying it's tea without a tea bag.
The consistency is there.
Okay.
It's a milkshake without having to do all the work of a milkshake. It's a lot easier to do.
Okay.
I can make these. So if I can make these, then any red-blooded American can make them.
Okay. I'll take your word.
Just don't put your pinky up when you're... I felt like I need a timeout now. I'm sorry.
It'll be fine.
I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry.
Men's basketball will make their way to Troy, Alabama. It'll be a 7 o'clock tip-off on Friday, 5 o'clock tip-off on Saturday. And this is a Troy team that we've talked about it for really about a year and a half now under second-year head coach Scott Cross. And this is a team that you knew it was going to click at some point, and it may have clicked last weekend against Appalachian State when they swept App State and the Mountaineers came in the top team in the league.
If they haven't, they're really close to it. The first game, they never trailed, won by 9. Second game, it was a little bit more back and forth, but they still never trailed by more than one possession. So as much of I'll take it, you take it, I'll take it, you take it, there was, Troy still did enough defensively. They're a lot more aggressive than they were 3 weeks ago. Now, whether that carries over to this weekend, we'll see. Still not a team that's shooting great from three, but I think they're gaining confidence because guys that weren't making shots earlier in the season are starting to make shots. Nick Stampley is going to be back this weekend. He played 6 minutes in that series against Georgia Southern because he took a hit in the mouth, had to have multiple surgeries to correct it. He only missed those two games. He was back the next weekend when they went to Coastal. The fact that they're back home, their first six games in league play were all on the road, but now they're back at Trojan Arena. They're 5-0 this year. They play tonight. They play Spring Hill College tonight out of Mobile, where Frank Kearns used to be the head coach back in the 70s. It's their first game of the season. This should be a tap-in for them. So they're going to be 6-0 at home for the first time since they moved to D1 nearly 30 years ago. And that's what Georgia Southern is walking into this weekend. And I know they swept them here at Hanner, but that makes this a pretty sizable weekend considering the other activity that's going to take place in this division this weekend.
And this is a Troy team. Again, we've talked about it for a couple of years now. They've got the talent.
Oh, yeah.
They've got the coaching staff. And it was almost mind-boggling a little bit of how this team hasn't won more than it has the last couple of years. But again, it's one of those, when it clicks, it's going to click pretty good and for a while, you would imagine.
You had the changeover from Phil Cunningham to Scott Cross, and then from last year to this year, year one to year two, they had 8 guys that transferred out. They've got 11 new players on the roster this year. He is one, like we saw for the last few years in Statesboro, it's just different ways to go about going a program. This system was to get freshmen, take some lumps, let them become talented like they did during their high school days, and then eventually you're going to be an upper echelon program. You can see that for Troy already happening. They're going to start, in some cases, as 2 freshmen. Their point guard, Duke Miles, who also missed that series here in Statesboro, he's one of the guys that's been back and playing really well. He scored 17 in that first game against Appalachian State. They were without 4 guys, ultimately, that weekend. They played 7 scholarship guys, and they still almost pulled out both games. They're tough. And they play hard. They believe in what Scott Cross is telling them. They take 3 charges per game, so they're not only forcing those number of turnovers, but we talked about this with Coach Berg last night, that a lot of the times the charges that you're taking are on shots that go in. So they could just as easily be and ones. Instead, they become turnovers. You take momentum back, and who knows what you're going to do offensively and how that's going to affect the opponent on the defensive end as well.
It's going to be a fun weekend of Georgia Southern basketball, and hopefully both men's and women's will actually play this weekend. It was funny, Tracy Ham, I saw him in the Parrish Building yesterday, and he goes, "You going to call a basketball game this weekend?" I hope so.
You should have asked him the same thing.
I was planning on it this time last week, but Coastal had other plans.
We felt it with football with FAU. That was really it. Look, we lost the Ole Miss game. We lost the Boise State game. But as far as an in-season game that was not lost but moved, the feeling of having it there and taken away, that was the only time we felt it during football. And then so far with men's basketball, schedule-wise, they're +1 because they added the USC Upstate game that Saturday during exams to get to 3-0 way back during the beginning of the season. Baseball is going to be what it's going to be. We'll get into that more over the next couple of weeks since we're shy 3 weeks out from first pitch against Tennessee. You just have to do as much right as you can. And hopefully whoever you play is doing the same. I feel bad for Coastal. And look, I've talked about this with Georgia State's men. It's the second time this year they've been affected by COVID. They've barely played any games in conference. Remember, that's who Georgia Southern has next.
Yeah.
After this. And next week is rivalry week in the league. where you go from Friday, Saturday to, in most cases, Thursday, Saturday. You're at them, then they come to you. Next week's going to be an awesome week to talk about, but the hope is that Georgia State can play this weekend and then be able to play again next weekend, because you know we always get charged up for those two. We've got to handle Troy this week because those have become really big games.
For women's basketball, it's 6 o'clock on Friday, 4 o'clock on Saturday here inside Hanner Fieldhouse against Troy. Ronisha Smith and I will have the call on that one 30 minutes prior with a countdown to tip-off. Same story for men's basketball inside Trojan Arena in Troy, Alabama. 7 o'clock the tip-off on Friday, 5 o'clock the tip-off on Saturday. Danny will have the countdown to tip-off 30 minutes prior.
Just thinking about this, even though we're going to be announcing from higher up, no elevation jokes in Troy like we did in Boone.
You and Barry could probably make some.
Yeah, but I'm not sure where Troy is sea level. I would think pretty low.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But
I'm not a geography whiz.
But at Boone, when you've got the sign on the wall that says how high up you are, and then you're even higher up, and
yeah,
thinking that those are cotton balls, and it's actually clouds, and even though you're inside, this is
a flyover goes under you. We were talking about this week of we've talked about our friends around the league as far as broadcasters are concerned in the Sun Belt.
Sure.
Who the best tandem would be if the home and road broadcaster got together to do one game for both networks?
What sport?
Yes. Thank you, Glenn. Troy is 541 feet above sea level.
Okay, so
You're about 580.
So normal.
Yes.
So normal, not three miles up.
Thought he was going to say 404 feet above sea level.
See, we've talked about Barry since we got Troy this week. I think Barry and Jay Walker would be a phenomenal basketball combo.
Yes. You know what? And it's not Sun Belt and Sun Belt. I want to hear Jay Walker call a game with Bill Walton. And one thing that
vision would be yours.
Yeah, right. One thing we're going to start doing on now that we've got Inside Eagle Nation Live Edition, we're going to have some of the broadcasters from around the league join the podcast, whether it be on the phone or Zoom, however it may work out. And so it's not just us talking about some random person that nobody knows. We'll have Brant Freeman, we'll have Jay Walker, we'll have maybe even slide Bill Colhane in here.
Well, Bill's retired now, so you got to be a little bit more selective with his schedule. He's off at swimming tournaments and all this. But I'm sure Bill would pop out if we needed
him. Oh, for sure. So you'll be able to actually put a face with a name and a voice with a name. And
the only visiting announcer that we've had on the podcast before was Jay a couple of years ago, talking about the baseball tournament.
Because he's the dean of Sunbelt.
He's seen them all. There is no Sunbelt tournament record book. He is the record book.
That's true.
I remember when FAU, they had this right-hander, and nobody could touch him.
Was his name Gunnar Leger?
There was a time where Gunnar threw right-handed, and it was faster than him throwing lefty. True story.
That's another thing. If you haven't figured it out and 5 years, 6 years now that you've been here?
Yeah, coming up on six.
No, Darylin. But
speak, what?
But we are going to get requests of impressions that you have to do. Now, you've pretty much nailed everybody in the Sun Belt as far as broadcasters are concerned, some coaches as well.
Well, we did the one on the road to Jonesboro 5 years ago, so if you want to go back and find that, you're more than welcome, but We'll leave those in the past.
Yeah, no kidding.
That trip was fun going out, but it was awful coming back.
So you can either comment on here, and we'll get to it. And if he doesn't already have it, he'll start working on it. And you pick these up. When did you start doing impressions, or why?
Why? Friends. No. Okay. This was probably when I was in middle school, somewhere between 11 and 13. I couldn't tell you what the first one was.
Start with, like, famous people, or did you start with your teachers? Or
It was teachers, because I would just be able to pick up on little mannerisms and personality things. Because there's something that everyone does that makes it unique to that person, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. Like with Jay, you got to have the lip curl. Jake's one of my favorite ones. There's just something that everyone does that if you could pick up on it, that if you show it to other people, that, oh, wow, they do that.
The best was at the baseball tournament when Georgia Southern hosted the Sun Belt tournament in 17. We went out
4 years already.
Yeah, no kidding. We went out to dinner with Brant Freeman and Bill Culhane, who were doing the Texas State games together.
Yep.
And as Brant went to the restroom, you did your Brant
yep.
for Bill.
And he never knew this.
No.
We had known them for a year and a half, but he never knew that I did this.
And we almost had to pick Bill up from underneath the booth at the restaurant.
And then Bill went to the bathroom, but I did my proper.
Right. Correct. Between that and when we were at Mossy Groves out in Troy. And
That's a good story.
So the whole crew went out to dinner.
Did we have time to tell? I guess we don't really have a time limit.
We don't have a time limit. This is a podcast and Facebook Live.
That's
we could go all day if
that's
we wanted
point.
To.
That's a good point.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
You had it.
So, as the crew, on Friday nights before a football game, we normally, and couldn't do it this year with COVID, but in a normal year, we would find somewhere, and we don't go to chain restaurants. It's...
Well, they did this year, but usually we would.
Well, right. We go to somewhere that is most of the time, a hole in the wall and a local place. Kind of get the local flair of what that town has to offer. Well, in Troy, Alabama, there's not a whole lot of choices. Well, Barry McKnight had told us about this Mossy Grove School. Am I getting it right? Because I always say this name wrong.
Mossy Grove Schoolhouse Restaurant.
I don't know why. I always want to call it like Little Margaret's Schoolhouse or something.
Yeah, with preserves at the front door.
Sure. And so we're sitting there eating, and it's family style, and the waitress was incredible. She was cutting up with us.
Barry told us to make sure that when we got there, we got Sheila.
Right. And so we're sitting there talking, and all of a sudden it comes to fruition that Barry had told us to come. She goes, oh, I love Barry. And so you started doing your Barry McKnight impression, which is one of your better ones. I mean, it's not quite a Joe Cashin, but it's up there.
Nobody's heard of the Cashin yet.
No.
I don't think anybody knows about the Cashin yet.
Well, they do now. Sorry, breaking news. And so you're doing your Barry McKnight impression, and then all of a sudden we look up and Barry McKnight walked into the room.
That is a true story. We were in the back. There were a couple of other tables, but I think there were maybe only two others that were being used. So I'm doing the Barry, and there's a table behind us to the right. Guy says, are you impersonating Barry McKnight? And yeah, it's like, that's really good. No more than, it had to be 2 minutes later, Barry walked in the back. It's almost as if he knew exactly where we were sitting. But he was there with, I think him and Dee were there that night.
Well, they were. I think that was the first time we met Dee.
Yeah.
But it's never a dull moment when we are on the road.
It's just that's funny thinking about some of the stuff.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff you wish you could talk about.
Yeah. Or wish you didn't. But we will have plenty more time to tell plenty more stories with plenty more people.
I like this. This is different.
Yeah, it's almost like a morning talk show, but we can turn it off whenever we want to.
Starting to pick it up a little bit. People are awaking from their slumber. Can't laugh like that and then not say it.
Glenn has a request for an impression we'll get to in the weeks to come.
Oh, I can't do it yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
See, he's the only one that can see the screen.
Yes. Probably for good reason. But that'll wrap up our debut live edition of Inside Eagle Nation. We'll start doing these every Tuesday at 8 a.m. here on the Georgia Southern Sports Network Facebook page, and then they will be archived as normal, so in about 15, 20 minutes, it'll be up on your podcast platforms, however you got your podcast, whether it be iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeart, all of that.
We're everywhere.
Everywhere.
Let the spider web go.
Yes. So you can pick up Inside Eagle Nation on your podcast platforms like normal starting here in the next couple of minutes. But for now, for the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, this is Colin Lacey saying so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Inside Eagle Nation, powered by Learfield, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.